Please listen to the teachings by generating the proper motivation in accordance with the tradition of the lineage lamas by thinking that for the benefit of all mother sentient beings who pervade the infinitude of space, I must attain the unsurpassable, pure, complete state of enlightenment. And in order to attain this state, which is completely free of all mistakes, perfected in all qualities, in order to attain the state that I'm going to listen to the most profound, pure Mahayana teachings. So, when listening to these teachings, then, just as the Buddha advised, saying that one should listen well, listen excellently, and keep it in your mind. So, the teachings that one may listen to are the collection of the Hinayana teachings and the collection of the Mahayana teachings, and within the Mahayana collection, you also have the Mantrayana collection of teachings. These teachings that we listen to, that we contemplate on, that we analyze, that we meditate upon. When engaging in any of these activities of listening, analyzing, or developing the understanding of it, or meditating on it, the most important point to beginning any of these activities is is cultivating the proper motivation. So, it is the it is the quality of our motivation that makes these practices pure practices. It is the quality of our motivation which makes these practices become Dharma practices. If we have a faulty motivation, such as engaging in the study or the listening or the meditation, with the sole objective to free ourselves from the problems of this one brief lifetime, or to secure the happiness of this one brief lifetime, or if our motivation is only to secure higher rebirth in the future, immediate future lifetime, so as not to be reborn in the three lower realms, such as these motivations are regarded as very limited and faulty motivations. In the same way, when we listen to these teachings or develop the understanding of it or meditate on it with the thoughts seeking only our own individual benefit, then the practice becomes the practice of the individual vehicle, the Hinayana path and practice. So therefore, when we engage in any of these practices of listening, understanding, and meditation, then in order to derive the most greatest benefit from these activities, then one should engage in these activities with the highest altruistic motivation, not only for the self, but for the benefit of all mother sentient beings, in order to free sentient beings from every suffering and to enable every happiness, in the ultimate happiness. Just as oneself does not want any suffering or problem in life, just as oneself wishes the ultimate happiness, then sentient beings equally want the same. So therefore then, to generate the highest altruistic aspiration to attain the enlightened state of the mind, free from all the mistakes, perfected in all the qualities and knowledge, and to attain the state only for the welfare of others, only for the sake of mother sentient beings. So with this motivation, then, when we engage in the activities of listening, understanding, and meditation, then we can receive the greatest benefit from these activities because of this motivation that we have generated. And not only for this, even in our daily activities, such as when we get up in the morning, then, generating the bodhicitta motivation, cultivating within one's mind the highest altruistic motivation. In the same way, when we engage in our prayers or commitments in the morning, then, generating this highest altruistic motivation. So in this way, one ensures all of these activities of our daily prayers, and all the activities of listening, understanding, meditation, for it to become a direct cause for our liberation. All of these activities, because of this motivation, then plants the seed, becomes like planting a seed towards attaining enlightenment for oneself and for others.
ཁོ་གི་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་དེ་ད Then he is a surgeon, Yamba, the Soyaga, the Dendra, Juay, and Dendra, the Sam, the Travashi, and Dela, Jigadal, Homazombo, Sancho. 就是他那么想教人对，想教他们中国几个人，听着上有话的，他们上回想教好几期，我个几个上海人还是呢，我记得听着也不用，就三个道理，想教这对呢，就他们中国几个讲的讲什么个没有太多把头压的，想教啊，想自己搞好的一点，想这对呢就，就讲说这点啊，想的吧，确实对用那个特色确定的。 在上九个日日日期当上几个日日期，你个几个定的？不得是几当上几是几当上九是几的？我觉得这种经验吧，研究的每个人都不一样。那么人们在对那上九的头一个，那么对了就几个讲的几个两个几个，第二个我中着我认定的。我觉得第三了，第五的这个过年每个人都得把的几个讲过几个。 结果你上就特别个人吧，就上海人对，我觉得顶着个上就是几，上个初三了，这么你就像个的，前面的就中华党，就像华党四百马元吧，就点吧你，广东点吧党，广东点吧你，我们这边点你，俺们他们几几年没你就，俺们几人不过你像各个有华人对。 我的每个人的想就他的吧，想就什么有啊的，想就他的吧，他就光芒当。我觉得的，咱们的咱们他几年级，伢们那几人吧是上海当。但咱们的一点着我的就点把你我这不点的，那上个月有啊，因为参观的些那就那么的什么场地有啊，就。
So when we take the sutra teachings of the Buddha, then. Known as the graduated path to enlightenment, by saying that it is a graduated level of the path, then in itself shows varying different levels of the stages of the path, whereby which one may attain, enlightened state of the mind. So the way in which this stages of the path was first established in Tibet, although. It must be noted that these teachings were already taught by the Buddha himself in the collection of the Prajnaparamita sutras of the Buddha. Within that, all the stages of the path are already set in there. But for the very intelligent, they know exactly how to serialize the stages of the practice. For the very capable or very intelligent, then they are able to set up for themselves the step by step or stage by stage, format of the practice. But the way it is presented to today, as known as the graduated path to enlightenment, was what came about through the writings of the great Indian master Lama Tisha, who was invited to Tibet by this Tibetan king by the name of Chanchub He. Although the Dharma spread in Tibet, during the times of the king Sun Tsun Gangpo, Trisun Desen, and the third king, and during that time the Dharma was well established and widespread, but it went through a decline. It went through a terrible decline, and then when Lama Atisha was invited by this King Chanchubhu, then it was specifically with the motivation to revive the Dharma in Tibet. And so it was through the request, the kind of request that Chanchubhu presented to Lama Atisha in response to Chanchubhu's request, then Lama Atisha composed this particular format known as the graduated stages of the path. And within the completion of that writing, then Lama Tisha himself states, saying that this is my response to the request of the fortunate good disciple Chanchubhu. So within the Lamrim, the graduated path to enlightenment, then you have a path and practice common to those of small capacity, medium capacity, and highest capacity. And the objective goal of all of these paths and practice is to attain enlightenment or the state of a Buddhahood. So whether we talk about enlightenment or the state of Buddhahood, it is the same thing in referring to that state which is completely free of all the failings, all the mistakes, completely developed or perfected in all the knowledge and qualities. So this is the objective, this is the goal of the graduated path to enlightenment. And in order to attain this goal, then you have the path and practice set forth for the small, middling, and highest capacity. The ultimate, path of practice is the path and practice set forth for the, for those of the highest capacity. And the main thing to overcome are the two types of obscurations. And in order to abandon the two types of obscurations that enables us to attain enlightenment which is free of the two types of obscurations, then this cannot happen without causes and conditions. It has to be caused through the true truths and by the path of the method and wisdom that one can attain the objective goal of enlightenment or the state of Buddha's enlightenment. So this result is completely dependent on the path of method and wisdom, which in turn is based in the true truths, the two realities, conventional and ultimate realities. So in this way, you have the entire graduated path to enlightenment founded on the basis, path, and result. So the Buddha himself has stated within the sutra of the Prajnaparamita, Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, within those sutras, Buddha himself stated saying that all the Buddhas of the past and all the Buddhas of the present and all of the Buddhas of the future have relied on this path as taught within the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras to attain their enlightenment. And there is no other path other than what has been set forth in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras for enabling the result of enlightenment. So that is very clearly set forth by the Buddha himself, that what is taught within the Prajnaparamita, the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, is the path enabling enlightenment for those of the past, present, and future, and that there isn't a path other than this, as explained within those collection of teachings. So accordingly, then you have based on those original teachings of Buddha, then Lama Atisha composing what is known as the lamp of the path, setting forth the step-by-step practice to attaining enlightenment. And based on this, then you have the many different presentation of the graduated path to enlightenment by the various Buddhist schools. For example, in accordance with the writings of Longchen Rabjamba, then you have what is known as the title known as the words of my perfect teacher, and then Longchen So these are from the Nyingma tradition, like Longchen Rangchenpa, Longchen Zodun, whose writings are although titled as the words of my perfect teacher or the transmissions, the advice or instructions of my perfect teacher, like that. They are all basically Lamrim in the Nyingma tradition. Then in the Kagyu tradition, then you have Thapu Gombobo's writings known as the jewel ornament of liberation. Also, although titled as this, it still is the graduated path to enlightenment. And in the Sakya tradition, you have what is known as Lamde, path and result, which is again rooted in the graduated path to enlightenment. And in accordance with the Gelugpa tradition, then you have the great exposition on the graduated path to enlightenment, the medium and the small, composed by Lama Tsongkhapa. Then you have condensed Lamrim. And the most short version is the foundation of all good qualities, which is basically Lamrim, graduate path to enlightenment, which is undertaken as a practice in a way in which you receive these series of blessings of these realizations of these various stages of the path. So in this way, the graduated path to enlightenment is common to all of the Buddhist traditions.
Number kanto jamo yondo samgo nama chudan jin du di yuari da kanto ri da jamo da yondo se je ti ni ga denba tu yuari kanto ji chudo denba tu yi tuma ri se na so so re shin ji san ja ba di da ka thana yin ding
so when the you know within the lamrim the graduate path of enlightenment is contained all of the practices that needs to be cultivated. So of the teachings that the Buddha gave then, at the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, then the teachings were on the Four Noble Truths, within which the Buddha taught on true existence as well. And then at the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, then where he taught the non-existence of inherent existence, basically teaching on emptiness, that phenomena does not exist by way of its own characteristics. And so here, because of teaching on selflessness, and then when you compare the words of the teachings from at the first turning of the wheel and the second turning of the wheel, then looks like the words look contradictory, because in the first turning of the wheel there is mentioning of true existence, and then at the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, which is that there is no existence by way of its own characteristics, and thereby establishing that all phenomena do not exist inherently, do not truly exist. So the two, there a lot of controversy appears like as if there is contradictions. And so questions that arose from these two first two turning of the wheel of Dharma, then in answer to that, then you had the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, excellently sort of clarifying the various aspects of the Buddha's teachings. So, although, when Buddha taught saying that that there is no true existence, then it doesn't mean that it is totally non-existence. So when we classify phenomena into these three categories of, kuntak means completely labeled phenomena, and other phenomena, and thoroughly established phenomena. Within these three categories, then you have all phenomena contained within it. And of these three, then everything which is shenwang means the other existence, and yongdu, which is thoroughly established phenomena, then they are regarded as truly existent phenomenon. And then in the category of imputed phenomenon, then all imputed phenomena in this category, then all of the phenomena in this category are empty of true existence. So in the third turning of the wheel of Dharma, then much of the teachings are in answer to the questions that arose from the first and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma.
Jigar chungur sambu gongwan dhriyaga ten chuga cheta Papa Tommy, good to the chamber, Germany, that is the chamber, the little donkey, Nana Mamajiga, she would tend to shoot Maguaji. What you done, Gombu Shambi, Mara, Sherjango and Dodan, Chungu Rambas, and with Tondi, Mara Kachu Nozawadi, but then higher up him. That is her Duzawadi, what you the chamber to Denga, Senada, what you does, and you did the chamber and Gombu, Shamju Denga, said Judy, then Dojin is a Dunando D. Jandon. Then one talk gentle, gentle by years. Do the gentle do the singles are not gentle you are. One talk gentle do not gentle you are, and do one talk gentle on the D gentle, gentle by ye. What you that any children, the chunyan nam jessie, winda nam jessie, chitin, you got nam jessie, me, tomorrow you are and do nam jin ye. What that any that tobacco jelami, thank you don't you are, woody, shamble you then at the marathon. The marriage you garden iron is a Mayor of Paper Cubs and Papa Tomiko, Jamba Songs of Ating, I would eat and drink you. But that they need that you get to watch Jambo Jilla meet and you go Gumba, Driver Gondry, you did you are in the daddy cups of Abadi, Taba Jambo Jilla meet and you did and do, but teach only John on the wood in the ending.
So when the Buddha taught at this turning of, you know, at this first, second, third turning of wheel, Dham, you know, Buddha based his teachings depending on the disciples that were present at that time. So at the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, the disciples at that time of the mental capacity then were regarded as of a lower mental capacity, and those that disciples present at the second turning of the wheel of Dharma were regarded as disciples of the highest intelligence, highest mental capacity. And so the third turning of the wheel of Dharma is basically to do with the many questions that arose from those teachings, arose from the first and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. With regards to, the collection of the teachings that Asanga received from Maitreya, these five treatises, these five texts, there is a whole story as to how Asanga went through the various practices to attain, to get that direct, teachings from Maitreya. But since that was already covered last year, we won't go into the detail. But we can say that within these five texts are the condensed essence of the entire teachings of the Buddha, the entire Prajnaparamita teachings of the Buddha, and whatever the Buddha taught at these first, second, and third turning of the wheel of Dharma. These five texts contain the essence of these teachings. So they comprise of what is known as the jewel ornament of the sutras, the jewel ornament of the clear realizations, and the distinguishing distinguishing phenomena and ultimate reality, that is one. And then the other one is Uta Namji, distinguishing between the two extremes, middle. Distinguishing between the middle and the extreme, right? And then the fifth text is the Uttara Tantra, which is the sublime continuum. That living you are with some chip, some chip, some chip, they tell you are.
da leve samba di sangjeb ko chechu da wo di yon de se ji de ten yu ari o da leve samba leve jeba di chen li ji ge sangji ko yon de ko xi li am chen li de wo sen jin ko ji la ji yu ba yin de de ten da ti nga win phan yo di yu ge na phan yo ko leve di da leve ngi na wa di ja ga yin du di na ni da na na tong bu o ji da du ji ni de ko
So the Uttara Tantra, the Sublime Continuum, comprises of five chapters. The fifth chapter is just talks about the benefits. The first chapter talks about the seven Vajra points. And the second chapter talks about, you know, the three objects of refuge, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, in the context of the rare, and sublime three objects of refuge. And then the third, within the third, within the first chapter. Also, is the talking about Buddha nature, or the the element of the element of the Buddha nature, the essence of our potential to attain enlightenment, and then also within that first chapter, also what is talked about is enlightenment. Then the is Rumche Nibati Chanchurwa. Sorry, Amir. Second chapter is enlightenment. Third chapter is the qualities of that state of enlightenment. And the fourth chapter talks about the activities, the different divine activities, or the activities of that quality of enlightenment. How, as sentient beings, we receive the blessings of these divine activities. And the fifth chapter is talking about the benefits of all of these. So during last year's course, we already covered the seven points, and so we will begin from the three objects of refuge, talking about Buddha, beginning with the Buddha object of refuge. The Buddha, it says, the rare and sublime Buddha.
ဟောဒီတာတင်တဲ့ယံပယံသူဒီတာနာနာငမတိဒီယိကင်ကိုနေဟောဒီတန်ချိုဂျိုတန်တရားနေဒီတာချလောကသံရန်တို့ယူပါရီဟောဒါဒီသံဘောဒီဒီတာဂျိုချာဒူဂျင်းနိဒံဘောချလောကသံဘောဒီနိဒံဘောဒီရီရီနေငွေဆောင်ဟောဒီတာတင်ဒီချလောကညီဝဒီနိဒံဘောဒီရီရီလာမန်ဒီကင်ဒရဝန်တို့ယူတင်ဂီ
With regards to the first stanza of the at the beginning, the first stanza just begins with the, you know, the homage, and then you know, stating what the 7 points are, and the second stanza talks briefly what the 7 points are, and the third stanza, you know, basically talks about the ultimate goal of these 7 points is basically to attain the state of Buddhahood, the enlightened state of mind, which is and then it talks about the qualities of that mind of enlightenment and the activity of that. What is the activity of that quality? The activity of that quality is to enable or to cause enlightenment in the mind of sentient beings. You know, kind of causing the propensity of enlightenment, causing enlightenment within minds of sentient beings, and that is followed with you know, talking about you know, that these three ultimate objects of refuge, you know, that that exist in others, you know, other enlightened beings that embody these three objects of refuge, then utilizing them as your inspiration or model, you know, to inspire oneself in the path, and also understanding that these three objects of refuge is something which can be actualized for oneself in the form of one's own resultant refuge, you know, just as the past Buddhas have actualized their resultant refuge, and present Buddhas are actualizing their resultant refuge. Oneself as sentient beings now have the propensity in future to actualize that resultant refuge for oneself. And by actualizing this resultant refuge of these three objects of refuge within one's mind, then what one comes to attain is a state which is completely free of mistakes and perfected in all the qualities and knowledge. So that is what it means to actualize the resultant refuge within one's own mental continuum. So that is what is stated basically in the third stanza. So the Sanskrit name for this text is known as the Mahayana Sutra Uttara Tantra, you know, known as the sublime continuum, essence of a one Gandas. And then the first is homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And then the first stanza, Rumchi is just going through it briefly and then not doing the explanation. A Buddha and the doctrine meaning Dharma and a community, Sangha, basic constituent, which is the element, and enlightenment qualities, and finally Buddha activities, the body of the entire treatise is in brief these seven diamond topics. So these are one as known as the seven Vajra points or the seven diamond topics.
Hori dadiya oni jidan doni tenli den dangaramba di chulo ganiwa di
And then the second stanza, these seven incarnations are to be known by way of their own natures. In this order, in the questions of King Dharaneshwara Sutra, is the how this sutra came to be requested. And then the first three from the introduction, meaning the Buddha Dharma, Buddha Dharma and Sangha taught within the introduction, and the other four from the divisions of the attributes of the intelligent bodhisattvas and of conquerors, from Buddha the doctrine, from the doctrine the community of superiors, from the community the basic constituent of the essential exalted wisdom is attained. So from this, what is saying that from the Buddhas arises the Dharma, and from the Dharma arises the Sangha, and in the Sangha is this element, the basic constituent, the transcendental wisdom of the all-knowing mind, which is the goal to be attained, and establishing that, that is as that all sentient beings have this basic propensity to attain that state of enlightenment. And finally, from exalted wisdom is attained the supreme enlightenment, endowed with the qualities of the powers and so forth, and effecting the welfare of sentient beings.
Josia Nidanga Dambo de Conjo Sami and Du Conjo Sangwen only Dambo Sanji Conjo and Guevari. They embay and do Sanji Conjo La Choloka or Jigda Surambu Chico Choloka Kajivari. This Sanji Conjo and Chojuji Jiva and do Consu Tama Vinta Major Sanji Nuron Nam Sanji Sakan Dambo Sanji Nina Mata Tavasir and Jutta of Lam Tamba Sakaniva Chanzi Raja Dorje and Jana Dimar Nyoko Chunzi Jin Sakan Samba.
The fourth stanza begins with talking about the Buddha, the rare and sublime Buddha, and talking about the Buddha object of refuge are the next four stanzas. The first stanza, who is quiescent, who through Buddhification became Buddhified, is self-arisen aspect, and having become Buddhified, taught the path of fearlessness and permanence, so that those who had not realized it might realize it, and who, carrying the supreme sword and diamond of knowledge and mercy, cuts the sprouts of suffering and destroys the walls of doubt that are surrounded by the darkness of various views.
Ojida dinda yemba yendu, ojida ni kam ni dandia ando, Sanji Komja la chobre jobe tsiyang yin ge yuwa re Sanji Komja kan dur ten ra wo yin di ngi Ta di yang ni yang cholo ka ni yar mar ji ge dur ten ba di Da jiwar shi ya yin du Wa ji da ndi yang yin da so na Di ma shi sa yon din je dang ten ba si Wa ji da yon din ka naka mandra ba ji tsi na Di yon din ka naka je dang ten ba Sanji si ji te la shang tsar ka yin si na Ta dur ra wo di yang na ten ra chi yin di ngi
So in this first stanza is in one way there is a brief praise admiring praise to the Buddha and a brief explanation of what the Buddhahood is about and the later stanzas talks about the qualities of Buddhahood basically talking about eight specific qualities of the Buddha
Ojuda
So in the part where it says, obeisance to the one who has no beginning, middle, and end. It's talking about the qualities of the Buddha, but it's like it's very comprehensive. So to really understand what is meant in these in this abbreviated version is to go back to the second verse where the qualities of the Buddha are sort of itemized in these. Buddha has the eight qualities of being uncompounded, meaning by nature pure, you know. And spontaneous, not being realized through the cause of others, knowledge, mercy, mean loving compassion, and power or capacity, as well as being the fulfillment of the two aims of oneself and others. So, you know, within these eight qualities, then, there are the first three qualities are the qualities for this tambusum di ramdung. Three qualities are, qualities for the self, and three qualities are specifically for the activities benefiting others.
So
when we talk about the quality of the Buddha being uncompounded, uncompounded quality, refers to the specific quality of being by nature pure. And so because it is uncompounded, it has no beginning, middle, or end. So when we look at the qualities of the Buddha, there are the qualities of qualities that they have, qualities established by what they have abandoned, qualities of what they have abandoned, and the qualities of what they have realized, experience or realize. So in their attainment of this cessation of all, in their various attainments of this cessation of the qualities of abandonment, then this quality of being uncompounded by nature pure, then one cannot establish a beginning, middle, or end. When we talk about uncompounded, the quality of our uncompounded also refers to the Buddha's holy mind, the emptiness of the Buddha's holy, the emptiness which is established on the basis of the holy mind of a Buddha, which that emptiness which is unproduced, unceasing in the nature of space itself. So the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, which is which totally negates existence by way of its own nature. So it is in that context that you say obeisance to the one who has no beginning. So no. When referring to no beginning, you can also refer to the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, as in having no beginning. So in that context, then we can say, sentient beings' mind, in emptiness, the sentient beings' mind being empty of inherent existence, is also of that same nature. When we talk about just as space pervading all existence, then emptiness too pervades all existence. The quality, second quality, being spontaneous, referring to the quality of a Buddha which is pure even in the temporary context, in the immediate context, being pure. Spontaneous here refers to the activities of the holy mind of the Buddha in engaging in the activities benefiting sentient beings. Then it is spontaneous, that it does not have to motivate, does not have to specifically generate a motivation, and there is no contrived form of motivation in order to engage in the activities benefiting sentient beings, that in the activities benefiting sentient beings, then for the Buddhists it is completely spontaneous. And why is that? It's because when training in the path, they have so habituated the mind over and over again in the activities benefiting sentient beings that they have this quality of spontaneously benefiting sentient beings. So, the quality is that by nature pure, and also temporarily pure, so that one cannot say, one cannot say that it is pure in one context and not pure in the other context. Temporarily and ultimately, that the Buddha embodies the purity. So then the third quality, which is a quality not being realized through the cause of others, is that the quality of the holy mind of the Buddha, the transcendental wisdom, holy mind of the Buddha, is that it has qualities beyond the concept of bodhisattvas and ordinary sentient beings. Cannot be conceived. Cannot ever imagine what these qualities are, and these are qualities that the enlightened transcendental wisdom mind of a Buddha embodies, and not something So not realized through the cause of others basically refers to other ordinary sentient beings, cannot ever express or cannot ever realize, conceive the qualities of the holy mind of a Buddha. And then the quality of the knowledge also can be, the knowledge that sees ultimate reality of phenomena, and the knowledge that sees conventional reality. So one can, that knowledge can be distinguished into two, or just, you know, also is, you know, by saying that Buddha has the quality of knowledge that it sees both of these ultimate and conventional realities. And then the mercy here refers to, you know, the quality of loving compassion, and the power is the propensity or potential. And so you have the the quality of knowledge ever enhancing, the quality of loving compassion ever enhancing, and the quality of power or potential ever enhancing, or the quality of knowledge, loving compassion, power ever enhancing. So where it talks about these qualities of knowledge, loving compassion, and potential, so these are what is talked about in the in the fourth stanza, where it says, having become Buddhified, taught the path of fearlessness and permanence, so that those who had not realized it might realize it. So, and who, carrying the supreme sword and the diamond of knowledge and mercy, cuts the sprouts of suffering and destroys the walls of doubt that are surrounded by the darkness of various views. So all these qualities of knowledge and loving compassion, the propensity or the power of all of these is to be utilized for cutting through, for cutting through the sprouts of suffering and destroying the walls of doubt that surround the darkness of the various views. So in this way, when you study, you study the detailed qualities that are stated in the fifth verse, and then apply their context to the fourth verse. And that way, one has a better understanding of it.
Oggi da dinne in mai ndu ju da di akko ju da thoma binda si ju da da ju so so rang ko tog ji ju ji da su kong ko ti da dan da de li jang ma ju ji chin no na yang ko yu wa ri di oggi da di ma ji so yang de ji bu tang kan da wo tin da ji ji ngun da ya di da to gui ma ra ju di dong ko nyin bon da wo da da tin da ju ji yang da su ko ri na da yin da yin na yang ju da wan da yo na shi na oggi da ji tu ji ki ya ma ji la
Rumchi says, in the fifth stanza, you have the basic idea of what are the eight qualities of the state of Buddhahood. And so, since we have half an hour, Rumchi said, you can ask questions with regards to these points that that you have questions about, or any questions with regards to Dharma. But if you don't have questions, then we can just continue. You just go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, yeah. You stated in terms of the quality of not being realized through the cause of others, that these were qualities that were beyond the concept of ordinary being. Did you include bodhisattvas in that?
Mishitanda, yundin gegi nani, yundin sumbachi, yorwa, shengi wongi topu magi.
Oh, really?
Di kunsu, susuke buchugolu sungore, yang, chanju samba namge, ta, sangegi tugi shigi yundin zo.
Really? De song yongi wari, suun rawo, yusotu chivo yundingi.
Rinpoche says it's primarily mentioned in the context of ordinary beings that are not able to realize, the qualities of Buddha. But also, you can have bodhisattvas who have yet to attain enlightenment. Are unable to totally conceive or express these qualities of Buddha, and Mishu says you can have those on the hearer's path and those on the solitary realizer's path too. Rumichi nyeranda ransange kunanzue tok
re da nyeranda zo ji nyeran baba yuari di oji da nyeran so ji yuari da so su ji kona ti kongan din da nyeran baba so da shangju sanban baba da zo yena yang ji
Rinpoche says, those, you can have ordinary beings on the hearers and solitary realizers' path, and Arya beings of the solitary, Arya beings on the hearers and solitary realizers' path who are unable to express exactly, the qualities of enlightenment like that.
I was wondering if Rinpoche could explain more his first explanation of the word uncompounded as no beginning, middle, end in regards to the Buddha cessation.
Rinpoche tanda yunten tangbu chorwa. Duma chegi yunten chorwa. And di duma chegi yunten toma parda tagi tol chik tenchi gop. So when we talk about the quality of being uncompounded, then refers to the continuum of the holy mind for Buddha, which is empty of true existence. That emptiness, which is free of the two extremes of eternalism and nihilism. Also, you can say that it is that it is free of the four extremes, and it stands middle of the four existence, yet that middle is also empty of inherently existing. And so when we talk about that quality of the holy mind of the Buddha, uncompounded in a, is, uncompounded in the sense that it is, you know, unproduced, unceasing in the nature of space itself. The uncompounded characteristic also refers that to the quality that, you know, it is not something that which has been produced through a collection of causes and conditions. So, when we talk of the emptiness of the holy mind of the Buddha, then that empty of a true existence of that mind, of that holy mind, you know, in that, you know, you cannot say. You cannot establish a point of a beginning to that holy mind being empty of truly existent. Nor can you establish an end as to when it was, you know, end of that, you know, holy mind being empty of true existence. Although there is a middle, yet that middle is also empty of, you know, inherently existing. Like that.
Quality
of power of the Buddha's holy mind,
could you
please give a more extensive explanation of what is
included in power? The Yuntengewa, Nube Yuntengewa, the Golden Chichikta Shishkiwa. The Nube Zijit, the Lagi, the Chandra, the Rijin, the Shayana, the Chamba, the Seva Zijit, the Chansi, the Chamber, you do Seva Mingi, Seva, you do Chamber Mingi, Yatra Dingi, Jiga, Yon Dingi. Yon Chesi Sondri and Dingi, Yon Yu Dingi. That in Regati, Nila Samu Tonga, Yena, Chamber, Don Seva, Yatra Dingi, Yon Chamber Nivachi. Yon Tindrago, Seva Nivachi, Chesi, River Nivasija, Jiyon Yu Dingi. Yon Chesi Sondri, Gun Yon Yu Dingi. When I do Sondri and
So when we talk about the power, the quality of power, that power is applied to for the power of the knowledge. The power of knowledge without the love and compassion, the power of the love and compassion, which is here translated as mercy, without the knowledge, or the power, you know, of the unified knowledge and love and compassion. So just like, you know, you have on the path of the sutra, you know, the power of the mind of single-pointed concentration, but without the power of the special insight. And then you have the power of the mind of special insight without the power of the karma mind. And then you have the power of the mind of the unified practice of karma abiding and special insight. So power in that context. You want to clarify?
Is there another English word for power?
It's like a potential, also a potential. Tibetan is, you can go power or potential, it's both the same. Nuva is actually more potential. Okay.
Okay, go ahead. My question is about what we call the prostration mantra. I've heard that it relates to the three jewels on the lower jhushriyas. I wonder if Rinpoche can explain.
Om namo manjushri namo sushri siya chorwa. The kunjo sumla kugores, jegores, siya chikochons, Rumchi says, you know, when we take refuge, then you have, you know, the rare and sublime Buddha, the rare and sublime Dharma, the rare and sublime, you know, Sangha. And then, you know, although you have three main objects of refuge in the Buddhist context, then in other spiritual paths, then you have just one you know, object of refuge, just you know, identifying just one object of refuge. But here, you know, the object of refuge is kind of elaborated upon in these three contexts. Yet within the Buddha object of refuge, you know, you also, the Buddha object of refuge already embodies the Dharma object of refuge, because the Buddha has the realizations of the cessation and path of cessation, and the Buddha is also the Arya Sangha. And so, the Arya beings on the Arya beings in the hearer's path, Arya beings in the, solitary realizer's path are also, in the category of the, category of the Sangha object of refuge. So, so in this way, Rinpoche says the mantra that you use is, is applicable to the three objects of refuge.
Can you speak up, please?
Speaking about the emptiness of the holy mind. Okay.
There were two phrases.
Can you speak up, please?
Yes. There were two phrases: empty of inherently existing, and also empty of truly existing.
Mm-hmm.
Are those two different things? Can you explain?
Sangha two. To ranching to be tongan da demba to be tongan sin ranching to be tongan da demba to be tongan nicha tunda chikwa rwes. Really,
you
are tunda chikwa. Same meaning. It's the same meaning. You know, when you talk about empty of inherent existence or empty of true existence.
Chikwa ri zhe ji ji da ni tunda na ji na ni wama tanjir wada tu su rila chikwa yeng yuwa ri yon.
Rumcha says these two terms mean the same thing in the context of the Madhyamika school. But again, when you take these two terms in accordance with the lower schools like the South African school and the Chittamatran school, these other Buddhist philosophical schools, then again they differentiate the meaning of these two things. But here, because we are going on the basis of the Madhyamika view, we have to follow the, that they both mean the same thing.
Yeah,
This view where you say, that other phenomena and thoroughly established phenomena, classifying them as truly existent and imputed phenomena as being, empty of true existence is in accordance with the Chittamatran viewpoint. Again, with the the Prasangika system, again, is different.
Number top of the junior Jesus in a young, condoling under some like Chanda and Jiga Shia Jiga, you are the Tati, to the girls of a lawyer, the Chikawaji and you are. That's always some Zambuji on a diacre.
I was just clarifying some Rumcha said, just those three terms that were utilized and, classify them as, the two, or the other phenomena and then. Thoroughly established phenomena as being classified as truly existence is in accordance with Chittamatran viewpoint. Of course, Rumcha says.
Rumcha
says, you have these four Buddhist schools of thought. And, the lower schools, to understand their viewpoint is important to as a foundation or as a way of being able to grasp clearly what the higher schools designate as their viewpoint. It's just like, when you climb up the stairs, so you take the first step and then you take the second and third and fourth. The philosophical schools, each of the lower schools is a foundation base for a better grasp of the higher school's viewpoint. Femo, go ahead.
This subject of the power of the Buddha, so we can get back to this. How, in what way is the power of the Buddha, how is that quality used in benefiting sentient beings or interacting? What does it have to do?
Simchen la penta cheto di nuve sangge gi nuve yon den de kandes jukures
nibe yon den de bari o da den jukur wa ji sangji gan thani se ji sangji ge thu ko chenba nuwa da zeba nuwa di ti to ko chu sang ja ga di samjen ge jela ji sangji ya ga niwa yo ba da sabon da wo ji tab ja ga di ti chenba da zeba nuwa yin ge wa ro.
For when you talk about the enlightened, the Buddhas engaging in the activities benefiting sentient beings, it is through the power of their, knowledge, power of their loving compassion, that, it is through the power of these qualities that they engage in the activities giving Dharma teachings, giving guidance, to ripen or to nurture the Buddhahood potential in sentient beings. So, in that way, you have the power. or the potential of the Buddha's blessing in sentient beings. Sentient beings do have the potential to attain enlightenment, but yet in order to actualize that potential, then it needs other powerful blessings to actualize that potential in the way of receiving the teachings, receiving the guidance as to how to engage in the proper mode of conduct of our body, speech, and mind in the practices to enable us to actualize that Buddhahood. For example, when you have a seed, that seed has the potential to grow into a flower, but yet that seed needs the other conditions of the soil, the water, the sun, the manure, like this, and then day by day, then gradually that seed is able to actualize that potential of flowering into something. And it is the same for us as sentient beings. Although we do have the potential to become enlightened, yet to really experience that potential, then one needs these conditions. For example, you can have the you can have the dried seed of that flower, but it has the potential, but it is very far away from actualizing that potential. Then when it goes into the earth, its potential becomes, potential for flowering becomes greater, and then when it meets with all the moisture, then there's even more greater potential for it to flower. So like this example, it is the same for us sentient beings.
I have a question about the first point about quality of Buddhahood uncompounded. If that refers to the ultimate nature, emptiness of the Buddha mind or Buddha, how is that a distinguishing quality of Buddhahood, because everything is empty of true existence? Why does that distinguish, whereas spontaneity, mercy, power, these others seem to be something distinctive to Buddha?
Mm. Kurang sinata duma chegi sangye gi yonden chi shyo war wa di samje tu gi tengi tongba ni chi shyo war wa di sangye gi yonden mixe sha go go bu gyunse sha thum ndo so ka chen sna chue tham chegi ten la tongba ni gi ke chu di ye yo re sun zan di yonden shi men dun so ta mixe ta sangye gi chi sha yo chi yan ti sangye tu gi tongba ni di chi Rinpoche says, although emptiness is the same on the basis of every phenomena, in being empty it's the same, but what's the difference here? The basis of the emptiness, which you're talking about, the enlightened mind of the Buddha being empty of inherent, in that respect, it is different.
Oh.
says, if there's no questions, we'll stop here tonight and continue to at the next lesson. Sa shi bu di shi shi mi do chang ri ra lin shi ni de gyan ba ni sang ge shen do mi de bu wa yi tu bu nam da shen la chu ba shi yo i dam gu ru rat na man da lo kam ni o ta ya mi Jinya sabe gyawade tendan joa kala kambe da jeva jizan lo san chapaye tembi nyembo rendo salje yo jangje zemjo rambo che maje pana jidro je jeva nyembo me bayan koni gondo mbewa yo Sambo Jujur Adhamo Vara